Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back. Thank you so much for your company this Wednesday. And we're about to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet here live on air. It's probably the, certainly for me, the most important part of this show, because we take whatever intentions people bring to us and we pray for them. We're able to do something for another person. And that is a wonderful gift. Now, in this wonderful radio apostolate, I am accompanied each day by a prayer warrior, somebody who gives up their time, their energy, comes into the studio or down the line, and they pray with me. So let's find out today, who is our prayer warrior?
In the studio with us today, Kevin, is Mr. David Williams.
David, welcome back.
Thank you, Kevin. It's good to be back.
How's life treating you?
Just fine and dandy. Life is well.
Long may it continue.
Thank you. Absolutely.
We'll have to give thanks for one of the decades for all the gifts that God is bestowing upon you. I must ask, I know we're going to pray for him, but how is John Zachary?
He's doing fine.
Good.
Zachary Christian, Kev.
Zachary.
That's okay. He's doing just fine. Definitely want to pray for him. So, but the family is well, and I've got a long list of intentions I want to bring to the table today.
I said John Zachary because a friend of mine is called John Zachary, and it's an unusual name.
Yes,
that's why. There's only two Zacharies, your son and him, that I know, so forgive me.
They're good but, company, then.
You have told Zachary Christian that he is welcome any time to come
Absolutely.
On as a prayer warrior. We will induct him into the army of prayer warriors.
He could use some inducting, that's for sure.
We all could, David, yeah. We all could. Listen, it's great to have you on board, and you're a veteran of these campaigns, so you know how this operates. So I'm just going to put out again, listen, you've got Dave on the job, you've got me on the job, you've got all this invisible army of prayer warriors who are reaching for their beads as I speak, about to do battle for you, spiritual battle. And all they need is for you to give us the battles that you want us to fight for you in. That's it. Whatever that struggle is, we had a very personal struggle, maybe with addiction or something like that. Or maybe it's a relationship problem of one sort, family, marital, work. We'll pray for them all. Pray for them all. Or it could be an illness, a disease, a sickness, a diagnosis, a prognosis, or something you're waiting on, results, that sort of thing. Could be as a young person about to head off to university or to the military or to a new life somewhere and you're not sure how that's going to work. We'll pray for you. And you know what? We can do it all anonymously as well. There's two ways you can contact the show. You can phone in on 888-928-0881 and Reed will take your call. And Reed is like a Trappist monk when it comes to anonymity. He has taken a special vow, and he will not give away your identity, no matter how much I torture him after the show. So seriously, you can phone in and just leave your intentions. We'll pray for it anonymously. Or you can come on air and speak to Dave and me, and that's absolutely fine as well. Alternatively, just text me on 251-928-2111. I'd be delighted to hear from you, and I'd be delighted to pray for you. Okay. Well, David, I don't think there's anything else we can urge them to do, is there?
No, just let the Holy Spirit do its thing.
Let the Holy Spirit do its thing. That is such a good thing. Now, World Youth Day is taking place at the moment. Have you been to a World Youth Day, David?
I have not, Kevin, unfortunately.
No, not yet.
Mm-mm, not yet.
Maybe with your children in the years ahead, you will take them to a World Youth Day.
Got it. Well, I'm almost 56. I don't know about that.
You never know.
No,
never,
this is true.
Your spiritual children, yeah. Maybe you will lead a band of little children who look to you as a prayer warrior. You never know where these prayer warriors are going to end up.
This is true. It's
a good location. But anyway, we will join certainly with all the prayers that are being offered for World Youth Day today, and that'll be certainly one of the decades we pray. So I guess without further ado, David, we will start in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen. Thank you so much, David. We are up and running. So for this first decade, who or what would you like us to pray for?
Kevin, I want to pray for the repose of the soul of my father, Gene Williams, and my younger brother, Joseph Williams, who passed 35 years ago at the age of 8. And this Friday, we are having a memorial service for them at a very, very, very small church south of Montgomery. It was a family wish of my father to actually be buried up there. So I had him disinterred. He passed 2 years ago. I had him disinterred about a year ago with the promise that I would have him moved to this family cemetery. And my little brother, who passed, as I said, 35 years ago. So I wanted to, that's going to come to fruition this Friday. And so I wanted to offer up for prayer, the repose of their souls and for all of my family who will be traveling to this little small town.
That's wonderful. That's a beautiful intention, David. It's very, very touching, first of all. Father, son, very, very touching. And also little Joseph. It must be very difficult to have lost a little brother aged 8 so many years ago.
It was.
Well, we're going to pray for them now. We're going to pray for the repose of the soul of Jean and Joseph. What I'd like you to do, David, if it's not too much trouble, could you text us late Thursday or early Friday so we can remember you
Absolutely.
And your family yeah. in this Divine Mercy Chaplet, because we'd like
Kevin,
to pray for you all that it will be a peaceful, wonderful time together, but also a very spiritually rewarding time.
Bless you, Kevin, and thank you. And yes, I absolutely will. Thank you so much.
Yeah. We'd like to kind of be there with you. I know it's vicarious, but we can accompany you there, at least in prayer.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. Okay, so we pray for Jean and Joseph now. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, David. Okay, so for this second decade, we are going to return to... yesterday we had David... We get the intentions from St. Lawrence Parish on a regular basis, yes. And we couldn't fit them in yesterday. We were so bunged with calls and all the rest of it. So today, Reid is going to read out the various intentions from St. Lawrence Parish for this second decade.
Yes, Kevin. I have just a few here. Mm-hmm. One is from Anonymous for the conversion of her husband's heart. For his adultery to end, and that they don't go through with their divorce.
Yeah.
One is from Rita, and it is for Elizabeth, Dorothy, and Tim to reconcile and be a family again.
Yeah.
And then from the Seven Sorrows Prayer Group, they want to pray for Jane Mooney, who is at MD Anderson in Houston receiving treatment for cancer.
That is wonderful, Reid. Wonderful intentions. David, if you've been on this show for any length of time and you've been here when we've done St. Lawrence, you'll know that each week there is a woman who writes that intention into the book for the conversion of her husband's heart and that he return to their marriage away from his adultery. So I don't know who you are, Anonymous. I don't need to know. We don't need to know. But we are praying for you very, very much today. That is the cross that has been given to you. We pray that whatever evil has bewitched your husband, we pray that it end, that the power of it be broken in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this day in this hour of great mercy. And we pray that he return and repent of what he is doing. Rita, thank you so much for your prayers. We're delighted to pray for Elizabeth, Dorothy, and Tim, and pray for whatever the family problems are there. Our Lady is a great untier of knots, especially with families. And you know what? All families are tied up in knots. So it's good to have Our Lady on the job. So we'll ask her in particular, Rita, to pray with us and with you for this intention. And I love the Seven Sorrows Prayer Group. I love who you are, the Rosary Group. Yesterday we did the story time about the terrible Rwandan genocide, and one of the things that Our Lady of Kibuka, the apparition which happened in Rwanda, she asked that the Seven Sorrows of Mary be remembered and be prayed. So this little band of prayer warriors at St. Lawrence, you are doing what Our Lady asked back in 1981. And of course we'll remember Jane today as she goes in ongoing battle with the cancer. We ask that the precious blood of our Lord and Savior wash away all this horrible cancer from Jane's body and return her to full health if it be God's will. Amen. And while we're at it, we'll pray for everybody else at St. Lawrence. We give thanks for you. I know you pray a lot for Archangel Radio, and we return the compliment. Thank you so much for praying for us. We give thanks for all the good and all the graces that reside in that little prayer community. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you so much, David. That is our second decade. So for this third decade, I'm returning to you, David. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
Have a few, Kevin.
Sure. I'm going to come back to you for the fifth as well, for part of it. So
okay.
Let's know. I say that only because I don't want to rush you. You know, each of these intentions deserves a decade on its own. I know that, but we've only got five. So let's try and measure it out. I'll leave that to your discretion.
Okay. David. So I want to pray for, as we've prayed before, for Christopher Hill. He's our a very close friend of the family, a British, ex-British Her Majesty's sailor, who's battling lung cancer and seems to be winning. I want to pray for his health and recovery, and for his conversion, and for the health and comfort of his wife Diane. I'd like to add to that also for the health of a few parishioners of Christ the King, Pam Penix and Jim Ellis. And I want to offer up for their health and healing as well.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. We have prayed for Christopher before. I remember you talking about him. We'll pray that this battle against lung cancer, that the good guys win, that we win through calling down God's mercy upon Christopher at this time. And we ask again, we ask the Holy Spirit, that breath of life to blow away all this cancerous cells from the lungs of Christopher today. And we also remember his dear wife, Diane. I don't know about you, David, but sometimes those that suffer alongside those who are suffering illness can be even more traumatic for wives and
Absolutely,
husbands and for
yeah.
children. So we remember very much Diane at this time, and then Pam and Jim as well, and we pray for them. Shall we pray for everybody at Christ the King while we're at it? It's a wonderful parish. We've
Absolutely,
had some wonderful
yeah.
prayer warriors from there. It feels like a home from home on this station. So everybody at Christ the King, if you're listening and you're a parishioner of Christ the King, you're getting a double helping today thanks to David being with us today. But Pam and Jim, we remember you especially at this time, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you in these days ahead. And also to ask for the divine mercy to come into your life, and to feel the divine mercy, to feel that loving mercy of God in your life, which transcends whatever our physical limitations or difficulties are. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy for us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, David. Okay, so for this fourth decade, I'm just going to go through a number of intentions that have come in from various quarters, some of whom you will know, some of whom you won't know at all. So the first is that we forgot to pray, at least overtly yesterday, for our dear guest, Professor Gad Saad, who came in and talked to us about happiness. I don't know if you caught that, David. We had Professor Saad on happiness.
I missed it. Darn it.
He was actually very, very good, very entertaining. So he was very touched that we were going to pray for him. He asked for prayers for himself and his family and his well-being. So Professor Gad, if you're listening to this, we're praying for you this morning. I've also had a request in from Tom and Lynn, both of whom are suffering various back injuries, back trouble of one sort or another. So we pray that those back injuries be sent back to where they came from down below. And we ask St. Gemma Galgani, patron saint of all back injuries, to help Tom and Lynn today. We're praying for Amal, our dear friend, that she find work, and that the work is just perfect. just perfect for her and her many gifts. And we also remember her mother, Marguerite, who listens and prays along with us every single day in Belgium. Good morning, or good afternoon, I should say, to you, Marguerite. We also heard from Amal yesterday that we have new listeners in Holland and in France. So if you're listening in either of those countries, we're going to include you in this decade. And if you ever want to get in touch with the show and let us know who you are, then you just need to go on the website and follow the various links. I have an anonymous special intention that somebody has sent in that they want prayed for. So whatever that is, I don't know what it is, but it doesn't matter. The Lord knows. We'll pray for that special intention. And we have the last two are themed around young people, which I know is close to your heart as well, David. We have a mother who's having difficulties with her son. And we pray for that mother and the son. We ask Our Lady, untire of knots, to untie that knot, to cut that knot in half, and let that mother and son be truly reconciled. And may the Holy Spirit come onto that situation so the young person in question will know exactly what they need to do to follow our Lord. And then, of course, talking about young people, we have World Youth Day, and we pray that it will be a wonderful experience in the right way for all the young people there. So we pray that the Holy Spirit will set them all on fire with the truth of the gospel, and any of the wolves that are circling the tent will be cast off into the darkness. May anybody who's preaching anything that does not come from Christ be cast out from that assembly. Okay, so with all of that in mind, let's, David, pray this fourth decade together. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, David. Now, I will come back to you for the final word, the last word in all of this in a moment, okay, David. So anybody who's come to your mind in the last 20 minutes, or anybody you've brought with you, be delighted to pray for. But before we do so, let's turn to Reed and find out, Reed, anybody or anything you'd like us to pray for today?
Yes, Kevin. I would love to pray for anybody who feels like they're on the fence to joining RCIA or getting, you know, making that step toward converting to Catholicism. It's very low committal to do RCIA. Like I said yesterday, if you want to spend the first 2 or 3 months theologically debating with us and just, you know, arguing about things in the catechism, that's not going to bother us. That's kind of the purpose of it. So just for anybody who feels like they might want to do that, to be pushed in the right direction would be my prayer.
Where do I sign?
Be careful. I would stick you in the front of the classroom, Kevin.
That's a wonderful intention.
You'd be the presenter.
It's a wonderful intention. Listen, if you're out there and you're sort of curious about the Catholic Church, listen, give us a ring, 888-928-0881. Speak to Reed. He's an expert in getting you over the line. Or just helping you decide, is it for you? Is it for you? You know, we don't let everybody in. Okay, we let most people in. Okay, we let everybody in. We're an equal opportunities conversion machine, that's for sure. And before we come to David, I forget this every day. We're going to pray for the World Villages for Children. We've just had the executive director, Dave Cook, on. We're going to pray for Dave, his family, and also for all of those sisters who are involved in looking after those children in Philippines, Tanzania, and other parts of the world. They do a wonderful job. And certainly if their smiles are anything to go by, they're full of the Holy Spirit. They really are. Okay, David, last word to you.
Okay, so I have three. The first I want to offer up is another parishioner, Marianne. She is an elderly member of our parish. She was in a car wreck coming back from Mass on Sunday. She's okay, but The car was bashed up, and we are set to actually move her. She's moving from into a new house this Saturday. So just for her comfort and her peace of mind. Secondly, I want to pray.
Just before that, David, would you mind, again, if you've got time on Friday morning, could you remind us to pray for Marianne as she's moving into her new home on Saturday?
Absolutely.
We'll ask St. Joseph in particular to take care of that move. It's going to be great. It's going to go really well because we're going to ask St. Joseph. But we're going to do that on Friday, but you're going to have to remind me.
I certainly will. Friday, I'll have a bunch of text.
Okay. All right, then that's Marianne taking care of. Marianne, number two.
Secondly, in humbleness and mercy for the LGBT community and their conversion. They're God's children, and we have to love them and pray for them and for their conversion. And then thirdly, Kevin, I want to pray and praise and thanksgiving for you and your ministry and all the work that you do. It's truly a blessing, and so I'm offering you and your ministry up personally.
Well, that's extremely kind of you, David. I'm very, very grateful. But listen, there's two people you haven't prayed for today. You know that?
Who?
Zachary Christian.
Zachary Christian and Anne Elizabeth. Yes, they are.
Indeed. Well, they're normally first out of the traps. And I was thinking, David's waiting until that fifth decade, and then he's going to drop it on me.
Well, they had my rosary.
I can't finish with you without praying for those two very important individuals.
Absolutely.
It would just feel incomplete.
That's true. I'll probably hear about it later. So.
Well, you won't. We've added them in.
That's true.
All right, let's add all this together in this final decade, as we say. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
David, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy timetable and coming in and praying with us today.
My pleasure, Kevin. It's always a joy. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. And listen, please do remind us on Friday to pray for your family's event, but also to pray for Marianne as well.
You can count on it, Kevin. Looking forward to
it. And I hope that you really do feel that we are with you on both of those occasions.
It's overwhelming, and I do, Kevin. Thank you and bless you. Thank you so much.
Come back soon, David.
Will do.
All right. When we come back, we're changing gears. We're looking not so much to heaven, but to the heavens. We're going to be looking at the whole UFO congressional hearings, but we're looking at it with Dr. Paul Thigpen, who may have a particular angle on all of this. So stay tuned to the Charlie Frequency here on Archangel Radio.
Tim Simmons here with Tim Simmons State Farm. We're a proud sponsor of Archangel Radio. Tim Simmons State Farm provides insurance and financial services throughout Baldwin and Mobile County. We are located at 356 Morphy Avenue across from the Children's Splash Pad in Fairhope. I invite you to call me or one of my licensed agents for complete personal and professional services. Call 251-928-1400. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Sometimes you need a new dentist. You're new in town or your dentist retired, so you need to find a replacement. Dr. Brandon O'Donnell at Alabama Smile Design is your answer. From general dentistry to emergencies, cosmetics, and services to fit the entire family. Call 251-344-4994 or visit them at alabamasmiledesign.com. Alabama Smile Design, creating beautiful smiles to match a beautiful city.
Tomorrow on LA Catholic Morning, Father Michael Rainier talks about why it's important not to ignore your feelings. Joseph Pierce discusses his article in Praise of Noble Atheism, and Emma Waters shares about child sex trafficking and how it might be happening in your area.
LA Catholic Morning, weekdays at 7 a.m. on Archangel Radio.
This is Barry Little, Director of Adult Religious Education at St. Lawrence Parish, and I invite you to spend a moment inside Catholicism. Conversion is not initially an external change. That comes with faith. Conversion is not changing religions or denominations. Catholicism is not another denomination. It is a lifestyle, a worldview. Catholicism is the church that Jesus established 2,000 years ago. Relying on sacred scripture with a capital S, sacred tradition with a capital T, and the magisterium, the teaching arm of the church, God reveals himself to us and reveals us to ourselves. This has been Inside Catholicism. I'm Barry Little.
Yes, he'd like to come and meet us. He thinks he'd blow our minds. Well, maybe he already has come and met us, and we're having our minds blown, because what is going on in Congress these days? Now, I know you could ask that any day, the way the American political system is, but at the moment we have this slightly surreal sight to behold of a congressional hearing to do with UFOs. Yes, you heard that right, except today, for a reason I've never fully understood, they are called UAPs, Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. Well, proceedings have definitely grabbed the headlines around the world, especially here in the UK, because of a whistleblower called David Grosch. He's a former intelligence officer with quite a story to tell, a story that seems to get larger and larger in the telling, and at times it ropes in even the Vatican to its proceedings. We're just going to play a very short clip of his testimony to the congressional hearing just the other day. And seriously, folks, if this was in a movie, you'd think it was over the top. Take a listen to this.
If you believe we have crashed craft, stated earlier, do we have the bodies of the pilots who piloted this craft?
As I've stated publicly already in my News Nation interview, biologics came with some of these recoveries. Yeah.
Were they, I guess, human or non-human biologics?
Non-human, and that was the assessment of people with direct knowledge on the program I talked to that are currently still on the program.
And was this documentary evidence, this video, photos, eyewitness? Like, how would that be determined?
The specific documentation I would have to talk to you in a skiff about.
Okay, listen. First of all, what are biologics? But we'll come to that. Dr. Paul Thigpen is a best-selling author and has written 41 titles. Yes, 41 titles. He's a convert to the Catholic faith, and he has served the church as an award-winning journalist, historian, apologist, catechist, and even as a member of the National Advisory Council of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. I think you get a few years off purgatory for doing that. His work has been circulated worldwide and translated into at least 12 languages. It's probably gone into outer space as well, but he'll tell us about that in a minute. His latest book came out just at the right time. He must have planned this. I'm absolutely certain that he did, because it's entitled Extraterrestrial Intelligence and the Catholic Faith. Are we alone in the universe with God and the angels? And he joins me again down the line this morning. Dr. Paul, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Thanks so much, Kevin. Great to be with you again, brother.
Now, we did talk about your book in some depth a few months back, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I've been browsing it and reading it ever since. You know, don't take this the wrong way, Dr. Paul. It's a wonderful book to dip in and out of. Do you know what I mean? Because in about two or three paragraphs, I'm sort of scratching my head thinking, really? Did Origen really say that? Did that crash land really happen on top of that cathedral? No, I made that last bit up. But listen, it's come out just at the right time. What are you making of what's going on in Congress these days?
Well, you know, Kevin, I've researched this thing for many years, even since my youth. And once I became Catholic, began to look very seriously at the history of the conversation about, you know, non-human intelligence, as they call it, other than angels, and in the history of the church. And so I, for years, had wanted to write about it. And I thought very deeply about it. And as you say, yeah, the timing of the book was planned when it was in 2017, 2019 that the New York Times finally had, you know, some pieces that were blockbusters, but at the time they came out, especially the second one, which is right in the middle of the COVID stuff and the urban riots going on in the country, our attention was focused other directions. But talking about congressional, you know, secret meetings in which they were talking about non-terrestrial, intelligent, created technology, craft that had been recovered by the U.S. government. So I thought, okay, sooner or later, there's going to be more about this. I need to go ahead and write that book. So it took me 2 years, published it. It came out last November. And so given all that, kind of as a background, what do I make of the hearings? Well, I have to say, first of all, that David Grush had given him a very extensive interview to News Nation about, I guess, a month before the hearing,
yes.
And I'd heard that. But even then, I have to say that if for folks who follow this, you know, for a long time and research carefully, there was very little in the hearings or in the interview that that surprised us. The kind of claims, as much as they seem so shocking and startling to other folks, if you follow this for a long time, you know, there's been people claiming this for a long time. For many years, the difference was that Mr. Grush had such impeccable credentials within the intelligence community and had used the right, you know, channels to be able to come and be a whistleblower about all this. So that was really the big difference, that the things we've been hearing from all kinds of sources for decades, he's come out and said, yep, I know this because of my work in intelligence and because it was part of my job to investigate these things as part of the Pentagon's UAP group, study group, and I found that there were things were illegally being not reported to Congress. The law was being broken, and so I decided to be a whistleblower. And he has given to Congress behind closed doors and to the Inspector General of the intelligence community the specific names and places of where these programs have gone on. So that's pretty important stuff.
Can I ask you a question, Dr. Paul? You may not wish to answer it. I just don't know. Do you believe him?
I do. I do. I mean, I know there could be he could have been fed some misinformation. I certainly believe he's telling the truth. I mean, he's put his life at risk. He's said his life is at risk. And there is evidence for years of whatever forces that be intimidating, threatening, beating up, and perhaps even knocking off. He alluded this to himself, people who are trying to be whistleblowers about these things. There are forces that don't want this information, you know, uncovered. So, yes, I'll say, the main point for me, and this is what my book was all about, is that to find that out to be true, if we had this public thing, it would not be contrary to the Catholic faith. So there are plenty of people, yes, out there saying, you know, it's all demons, it's all deception. I'm so sorry, but they simply are ignorant of what the church's tradition is, of the fact that people like St. John Paul II, you know, himself, when he was posed the question about it in life, said he didn't say it's contrary to the faith or anything like that. He said they're God's children as we are. So anyway, I just think folks, that if they'll take a deeper look at it, they'll find, first of all, that it's the possibility is not contrary to the Catholic faith. The church has not given some kind of definitive answer to that question and has been very open to it. You've had Vatican officials. I know you can't say they're speaking for all the Vatican. They have to be careful of that. But like back in 2009, Father Joseph Gabriel Funes, who was then the director of the Vatican Observatory, he was at one of two Vatican-sponsored conferences on extraterrestrial life. And let me just read his words real quick. Believing that the universe may host aliens, even intelligent ones, does not contradict the faith in God. We're all God's children. How can we rule out that life may have developed elsewhere? Just as there is a multitude of creatures on Earth, there could be other beings, even intelligent ones, created by God. This does not contradict our faith because we cannot put limits on God's creative freedom. So I affirm all that. But then to go further, you know, about UFOs themselves. In my book, I just saved the UFO stuff for an appendix at the end because I didn't want it to overshadow the book. I said up front in the book, if every UFO account was somehow proven to be false or a hoax or whatever, mistaken, I don't think that could happen. But if it were, my book's main point would still exist, you know, still stand, that it's not contrary to our faith, that we should discover it. But I think that the testimony, I saw someone being interviewed the other day, a priest, I won't say where, and he did, I'm glad, you know, agree that, yeah, the church has not spoken on this, but then he went on to say, but we really don't have any evidence of it. What do you make of the first person testimony and witnesses, the people like Rush, but others who are involved in these programs, others who've had encounters? You can't just rule out, you know, those kinds of witnesses and say that's not good evidence, that's not scientific evidence. That's certainly historical evidence. I mean, most of history that we've written is based on testimony, not some kind of laboratory results. So, for that matter, in our faith, you know, the apostolic tradition is based on first-person witnesses who saw the resurrection. So if you rule that out, you're undermining a whole lot of things that we accept as true.
I think there's two things. There's probably a need to divide this into two categories. The first of all is that your book is a tour de force when it comes to exploring the history and the thinking of extraterrestrial intelligence and the Catholic faith. That's what the book's about. The UFO, you explained this when we spoke last, Dr. Paul, the UFO element is almost like an addendum to something which is very researched, very measured. It's about a theoretical subject which has not just interested theologians, but also philosophers, and you're very good at drawing all of that out, putting all that together. Just moving that to one side and focusing in on the UFO phenomena, such as it is, there is an element, there's always been an element, where it merges or it moves into an area which is, shall we say, a kind of a belief system, a kind of a new age approach that somehow the aliens, this craft are coming because the world is somehow corrupted. It feeds in with a lot of the stuff which is very topical at the moment about man not treating the planet right and all of that sort of stuff. But there's an element where these extraterrestrials are coming to sort of save us, if you know what I mean. I'm sure you've come across this, Dr. Paul, in your researches. And these are people who – they kind of, and I've had personal experience of this, they kind of leave Christianity behind for what in essence is a new religion. Now, why do I say that? Because the priest who you're referring to, maybe speaking about this, they might see it. They might see it as a kind of angel of light, as St. Paul talked about, you know, coming in a certain way, but to lead people astray. What would you say to that kind of hypothesis?
Sure. You run into that a lot. And I have stated in the book, I've said all along, that, for instance, some of the accounts of alleged abductions by aliens that yes, those seem to have demonic, diabolical characteristics. They run parallel. Even some secular observers have noted how some of those run parallel to more classical accounts of demonic encounters.
Exactly.
So I would never say that you can't have, that there are at least a few of these cases that are probably demons kind of deceiving people into thinking, especially ones that might say, oh, and by the way, we're rich-based brothers and we're going to teach you the true religion. We've seen that in history, before under different guises. But that's very different to go from that, or even, I think there are probably some exorcists who said, yes, I've had cases where somebody had a demonic encounter under the guise of ETI. Oh, yeah, I accept that. But to leap from that to saying the whole thing is demonic deception, as some people are, and who even refuse to talk to me about it, some figures, whose names you would know.
Yes.
That's a big leap you just can't make. So many, the great majority of these things, maybe not the alien abduction stories, but all the rest don't have diabolical, the characteristics of diabolical encounters. For starters, and this is why the whole recent hearing that focused on retrieval of crashed UFOs and even biologics, the reason that has been so important, and I've said this for years too, is that if that can be demonstrated, then what happens to the demon hypothesis? Demons do not have bodies. They're fallen angels. They don't have bodies. They certainly don't have to ride around and craft. They cannot create these things. Demons can't create stuff. They can do apparitions, sure, and illusions. But if they've got, material, say, from Roswell that they've had for almost 80 years and scientists have been studying at physical stuff that didn't just disappear at some point, that's not an illusion. That's something physical. That's something natural. And I think that, that's why one reason why this is so important. If this is demonstrated to be true, then folks are going to have to admit at least some of the stuff out there has nothing to do with it. It's natural. It's part of nature. And, yeah.
Now, there's another aspect to this, Dr. Paul. And we were talking about something which is not de fide, okay? So, Catholics can have opinions on it. You can believe they're extraterrestrials or not. I don't think the church is not, it's not declared one way or the other. It's not a matter of faith and morals. But we had on the show the other day a very highly public neuroscientist. And he was talking about the brain and the way in which consciousness and the brain and he was talking about the mystery of consciousness, I guess, and also the potential of consciousness and that we really don't know the universe, which is inside our own heads type thing. And how much of what we're seeing, though, I don't want this to be taken as a kind of a rude thing to say, but there is the possibility that people believe what they want to believe. And even somebody who's worked at a top level in government, in the Secret Service or whatever, people can still have episodes, florid episodes or whatever sort, and can start to think they have witnessed X, Y, and Z. Now, I say that not to cast aspersions upon the whistleblower, but you referred to the New Nation interview, which was released about a month ago. And if you remember the interview that he did shortly before that, he made it absolutely clear, this is David Grosch, that he hadn't any firsthand experience of any of these craft entities or whatever. And I'm not even sure he had the highest security clearance for what these things are alleged to be. So I'm just wondering, is this, just to talk about this scenario that we're looking at the moment in Congress, is there the possibility, and again, I do not mean this disrespectfully to anybody, but is there the possibility that we could be dealing with a florid episode or a mental health problem that has just flared up?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say no. As far as I can tell, there's really not that possibility for several reasons. One, Mr. Grush was not a believer in this kind of stuff. It was the conversations with people who actually came to him and said, I am involved in this program. I've got my hands on this stuff.
Right.
And 40, over 40 individuals who said that to him. And he kind of came to the place and said, oh my gosh, it's real. And that's the case with so many others. It's not like something they believe, you know, kind of comes into, you know, some kind of imagination or that thing. And also now, the journalists who are tracking this and have had people contacting them for a long time say that there are a number of whistleblowers, and this has been in print too, a number of whistleblowers who are coming forward and supporting not just his character, but his story, that they are some of the people that he's talked to. So you've got that going on, more and more of those going on. They're showing up with different organizations. So it's not like some kind of conspiracy on, you know, the part of UFO believers or something. There's just too much testimony, and he's got those specifics as well. That's why Congress needs to, you know, to do something about it. They've had this information for over a year, some of it. They just had these public hearings. They can verify this stuff, unless the people, you know, the folks who are holding this stuff, now that they've had warning, are able to move it out of the country, and there's some concern about that. According to one investigative journalist, there's at least one case, though, where the thing is so big that they recovered they can't move it, and they had to build a building around it outside of the United States. Now, where that is, that's Ross Goldthart, who's been on top of this for a long time. I don't know, but if that's true, my guess is it's probably in Antarctica, and there have been, you know, there have been rumors about that kind of stuff for a long time, too.
Now, you're probably aware that David Grosh's story in those crucial opening weeks, it grew and grew and grew. And by the end of the week, it might have been in the New Nation interview, that he started talking about Italy, Mussolini's Italy in the 1930s, and the retrieval of some crashed craft in 1933, I think it was. But he also implicated Pope Pius XII and the Vatican in some kind of operation whereby the U.S. forces then in occupied Europe, they took this craft back to the United States with them. Now, I'll be honest with you, Dr. Paul, when I heard this, I began to think that we had moved into the realm of kind of sci-fi. With all your knowledge of both church history, this subject in particular, the pontificate of Pope Pius XII, I mean, do you think there's any credibility to such a story?
Well, it's interesting. And first of all, something you said before, I want to you know, comment on. He did have highest clearance. That's how he was able to get.
Oh, did he? Forgive me. Right.
He did. Yeah. He did have highest clearance. Okay. There have been, you know, rumors for a long time, and often it's by the enemies of the Catholic Church to say, oh, the Vatican knows all about this stuff. You have people claiming. This is kind of seeped into the Catholic Church community as well. These claims that this is all demonic, and it's actually, when the governments reveal it, it's going to be a false flag, a setup for a one world government and Antichrist and all the rest. And what the Catholic believers in that don't say is that the idea originated among fundamentalist Protestants who go on to say, and the Pope and the Vatican will be the head of that Antichrist movement, you know, movement toward Antichrist. So anyway,
sure.
So there's a lot of that wild stuff that's going on about the Vatican, claims of what they knew. But I'll say this. It surprised me to hear that from him. But then when I began to check it out, there had been that kind of thing had been said publicly, you know, released to the press at one point. But folks who had looked at it, you know, as far as I can tell, they had serious doubts about the reliability of the documentation. Not that they could prove it was a hoax, but that, so the documentation, apparently it was decades after the event when somebody anonymously sent in photocopies of material that supposedly showed the Italian government, you know, saying all this in internal documents. So, you know, what was said, even in the UFO community, was, well, we need something a little more for this, you know, can't prove it's a hoax, but a little more to make it more credible. And so that was kind of my position. But then I, you know, got to think, if Grush is who he said he is, there's no one, you know, and has had the clearance he's had and done the work with those 40 sources. Maybe there's a possibility that he actually had access to things that the first whistleblower back, you know, decades ago didn't have. Maybe he's seen the original of those documents. Maybe he has other kinds of documentation and stuff. So if, you know, that's highly possible. And if so, then you can't just rule this thing out just because up until now, we've only had less than credible sources say.
Yeah, I mean, it just it just gets more intriguing by the moment. We're just coming to the end of this interview, Dr. Paul. It's been absolutely fascinating getting your take on it. I must say, for a man dealing with a subject like this, you are one of the most extremely measured and interesting people on it, because I always think that you come at it from such a refreshing and interesting and learned position, unlike some who comment on these things, including myself sometimes. Dr. Paul, tell people where they can find out more about you and where they can pick up a copy of Extraterrestrial Intelligence and the Catholic Faith.
Yeah, that book is available at tanbooks.com. You can get it on Amazon if you want, but also at your local Catholic bookstore and a bunch of my other books as well.
Dr. Paul, may I ask what you're working on next, or is that a state secret, above top secret?
I'm working on a podcast commentary, devotional commentary on the Confessions of St. Augustine.
Oh, wonderful.
I hope that's not secret information. But,
well, we've had a first here on Archangel Radio. Don't worry, there's only you and me here at this time. The rest of the audience has gone home. Don't worry. I'd love you to come back and talk to me about St. Augustine. That would be absolutely fascinating. The City of God.
Oh, the Confessions, not the City of God, but the Confessions. Yeah.
Oh, Confessions, and, even better.
Yeah, it is even better. So I would love to. And if this topic continues to be in the news, you might want to talk more about that. I'd love to say more about the Vatican situation. So let's do it.
Listen, we've got you on speed dial now for this subject. Don't worry, Dr. Paul, you're not getting away on this one.
Thank you. Okay.
Dr. Paul, thank you so much for taking the time and coming on the Turley Frequency. It's a great pleasure and honor to have you on the show.
The pleasure and honor is all mine. God bless you and all your listeners.
Thank you very much.
All right, Kevin, it's been another great day on the Turley Frequency.
It's been out of this world, really.
Yes, it has. That's really something when the people who research these kind of things, for a living, for their passion, tell us that they think David Grusch is, somewhat reliable information. That's pretty interesting.
I was not expecting that, Reed.
Well, what do we have coming up tomorrow?
Tomorrow we meet Dr. Thomas Lincona, who will be talking to us about how to raise children the right way.
All right.
Yeah. Listen, I hope you've enjoyed listening to us today. We've enjoyed very much your company. And if so, let's do it all again tomorrow. Same time, same frequency, same me. But in the meantime, may St. Joseph watch over you and all those you love, and until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you.